You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A film has been making the rounds across Northern California to discuss an uncomfortable, tragic reality. Fentanyl High is described as a documentary made by students for students with the goal of provoking an eye-opening conversation about the opioid epidemic in a way that no brochure or adult can do. It'll be playing in San Joaquin and Sacramento County starting tonight in Lodi, Friday in Sacramento, and next week in Tracy. Joining us is Kyle Santoro, the student filmmaker behind this documentary. We're also joined by Daniel Kim, the Health Education Programs Coordinator at San Joaquin County Public Health, which is co-sponsoring the showings in Lodi and Tracy. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Kyle, I want to start with you because this documentary is just impressive. It's powerful. And you created this in high school. So I want to start with your background and how it shaped your skill of filmmaking at such a young age.
Yeah. So for me personally, I'm Kyle Santoro. I'm 18. I'm from a family of artists. So growing up around that, really had an impact on me. And specifically with my filmmaking journey, I started actually with filming high school sport content in high school and then moved to collegiate athletes as well as some pro athletes within the NFL Combine as well as Olympic athletes through my company, LC2 Productions. And so I also made a lot of commercials through my company. And so that's kind of how I got started with actually learning the technical side of filmmaking. And I was able to produce all of that through the gear that I was able to gain through my company. And so all of that experience on the technical side was extremely important. But then I really always have been interested in storytelling and being able to use the power of film and art to actually address societal issues. So that is something that I'm very passionate about. And specifically with this project, it started during my junior year when we actually had fentanyl overdoses on campus. I was a student at Los Gatos High School. I was class of 2024. And it's very common where teenagers use substances either on campus or off campus within the teenage age or developmental years. And so the importance of this project really surrounds the why behind substance abuse among teenagers. So it's really talking about what leads teens to even consider self-medication in the first place. And so that's kind of how I got started with this.
Yeah. I learned in your film that although people in their 20s and 30s can be among the most deaths when it comes to opioids and fentanyl, the fastest growing death rate are teens between 15 and 16 years old. You were a junior in high school, as you said, when you made this documentary. You have a personal connection because of what was happening on campus. From the perspective of a high school student, what do you think it was missing in outreach to steer teens away from drugs and other substances that you wanted Fentanyl High to fill?
Yeah, so there's a lot of stigma on high school campuses specifically, whether that be, you know, social pressures, academic pressures, even domestic pressures. That lack of a conversation around those topics, I think, really contributes to a lot of teens internalizing the type of feelings that they feel at that age, and also a lack of conversation at home, specifically with parents. I feel like having an open line of communication at home or with a loved one, trusted one, is extremely important, because oftentimes drugs, alcohol, partying, other addictions, can be used as coping mechanisms for whatever is going on in your life. And I think that it's really important to use communication and education to actually not only, you know, address those things that are going on in individuals' lives, but to also show that there are other options in terms of healthy coping mechanisms that teens can pursue, whether that be extracurricular activities or passions or actually being involved with teen-led movements that can actually address societal issues. I think that that needs to be more promoted and more common within the school environment, and also not using disciplinary actions when teens are found to be using these types of unhealthy coping mechanisms, because I think that you're going to scare them and you're also going to maybe even lead to them being more secret about their use, right? The whole point when a teenager uses a substance is to numb some type of feeling or to look away from whatever is going on in their lives. So I feel like you have to get to the bottom of that reason, and that reason is different for every team. So I feel like being able to create an environment where a team can open up about that, whether that's on a campus or at home, is extremely important because it's something that's not talked about often.
Your film, Thunder on Ohio, it premiered in December of 2023, a little over a year ago. It now screens across the state and the world, and it's still screening here in Sacramento and San Joaquin counties, especially this month. Did you expect this level of turnout when you first started out with this idea?
I feel like obviously, there's no way to predict that, but I felt like there was a huge demand for it because it was something that, like I said, it's not talked about often, especially specifically from a teenager's perspective. It was a very I'm very grateful for the people who I got to work with on this project, specifically the teens. A lot of the teens did struggle with addiction, and many of the cast members actually are sober now. After working on that project. So I feel very grateful for everyone who has supported it. But in terms of the outreach of Fentanyl High, we've been able to reach so many communities, so many families, teens all around the country within the past year, and it's still growing as we speak. And so I feel very grateful about that. And I think that the outreach that we've been able to accomplish was something that I was hoping for when I created it. And I'm very grateful for that.
That's just amazing that the students, some of them who took part in this, are sober now. And one, that's amazing, but also that they were open to being vulnerable, not only in front of just people, but in front of a camera, in front of an audience for a film that's continuing to grow and spread awareness. Because, as you say, there's this stigma component, there's this moral thing that's attached to using drugs, which are bad. And so that can cause people to maybe want to deal with this in private. Why do you think they wanted to be open in this way with a topic that could be kind of taboo or even shameful?
I think that a lot of the teens saw an opportunity not only for self-growth, but also to impact others. Oftentimes a lot of teens in high school want to speak out about certain things, but they care about their image too much, or they care about fitting in. And a lot of that has to do with, the lack of, you're forming your identity at this age, and you're looking for things to, or you're looking for people to be around, you're looking for things to latch on to build your identity. And I feel like when you see, when you specifically take leadership with that as a teen, and you say that, look, this is possible, and that we can actually come together to promote self-growth and self-positivity, as well as, creating communities where everyone is participating in something that can impact not only themselves, but beyond that. I feel like that's really important, and being able to take that leadership and run with it, I feel like is inspiring to a lot of teens, which is also why I wanted to make this project, is to inspire other teens to do the same, whether it's around the realm of substance abuse, with self-medication or other societal issues. You can always use your voice as well as your life experiences to inspire others. And also specifically with how the film screenings work, we've been successfully able to partner with government agencies, nonprofits, local schools, to come together and create an event that not only has the informative side of the film, but as well as the take action step with actually utilizing resources from either your local county, your local school, as well as distributing Narcan at these events, so that you can actually have something on you that can actually save someone's life, as well as Narcan trainings to make sure people know how to use Narcan.
Well, let's bring in one of those partnerships. Daniel, you walk in this epidemic of opioids in public health with San Joaquin County. You're part of the Opioid Safety Coalition. You're co-sponsoring the Fentanyl High screenings in Lodi and Tracy. Given that you walk in this on a daily basis, what's different about Fentanyl High? What was your first reaction when you first watched this documentary? Did you learn new things, even as a public health official who's focused on opioids?
Yeah, it's It's really important to get the perspective of the individuals that are impacted. I think, we hear, we see the statistics, we see, the stories that police and others tell us, but really it doesn't tell us much about those individuals, because really the opioid crisis is a complex issue, and it's something that really needs to be looked at not only in terms of enforcement, but in terms of really providing treatment and looking at ways to help those individuals so that they don't get to the position where they are in to have to go through this. Mm.
One of the adults who was in the documentary said something to the effect of, you know, everything's changed, even the definition of experimenting. A generation or two ago, it wasn't necessarily lethal. Fentanyl has changed that because these are poisonings. These aren't even necessarily overdoses. These students are just people who take these counterfeit pills, don't even know necessarily that fentanyl is laced in it. They think they may be purchasing a Xanax or a Percocet. And we've had these conversations at length on Insight over the years. What's changed in the last 10 years regarding opioid overdoses?
Like you said, it really has to do with the introduction of fentanyl. Going back to about 2015, even the DEA at that time thought that it wasn't a big deal. But I think there was maybe about 700 deaths across the country at that time. But a year later, it rose to 10,000. And now we're at about hundreds of thousands of individuals who have been poisoned by fentanyl. And as I mentioned, it's a complex issue because, you know, why are drug dealers or, people putting fentanyl into those pills, to counterfeit pills. And it really is confusing because, you know, why are you killing your customers? But, it goes back to the opioid crisis, starting with the abundance of prescription drugs that people were prescribed OxyContin and other opioids like that, thinking, you know, they weren't addictive. And then the government saw that there was an opportunity or needed to cut that off. And unfortunately, a lot of these individuals were left to have to go to the streets seeking other illicit drugs and other methods in order to cope with whatever conditions they may be trying to cope with. And unfortunately, that created a shortage, even in terms of heroin. And fentanyl is a really cheap substitute or an addition that you can make it stronger, whatever drugs that they cut it into. And it was coming in cheap. And so the more that there's a demand, they felt that they could really hook people by mixing this in. And unfortunately, you know, what people don't realize is just a minuscule amount.
Like the tip of a pencil.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's fatal. And so, with these individuals making these drugs, in their private locations, using pill presses and whatnot to make fake pills, we don't know, how strong they are. And each individual may have certain tolerances. And so they can, they may experience it differently. And so therefore, they may take one pill. It doesn't affect them as much. The next pill could kill them.
Yeah. And this is happening across all age ranges. But I think about the why when it comes to high school culture, because that's the focus of this film. And you hear from students talking about a boiling pot of different ideas and personalities. I mean, this resonates with a lot of people, or maybe anyone who has gone to high school and been part of this environment. You know, you maybe want that escape. You feel uncomfortable with yourself. There's peer pressure. There's a whole gamut of trauma. And trauma is a big word, but it really just means hardships. You could be living in a single family home. You could be subject to bullying. I mean, the list goes on and on. That ultimately leads to feelings of isolation, and that can drive people to want to try substances like counterfeit pills, which have fentanyl. But what's unique about this age range? We're talking about teenagers, children, who are not fully developed.
I think we're at a perfect storm, unfortunately. The pandemic really added to this because they were isolated during, the lockdowns. They weren't going to school. And then we've got social media that also creates a sort of a mental health issue. All of this really gets combined to create that stress, either in terms of catching up or having to deal with the social pressures. And the coping mechanisms that you know, we had in the past were safer. And it's just the introduction of the fentanyl around this time has really made everything dangerous. And understanding that fentanyl could be in almost anything, your traditional, you know, party drugs or even the painkiller that you may be borrowing from a friend, you never know unless you know it's coming from a legitimate source. And that's what we're trying to educate parents and teens, really young adults, because that's where we're seeing our highest numbers, 18 to 35 year olds at our highest numbers, it being affected in terms of overdose deaths and especially in terms of fentanyl. So knowing that, you know, that the danger is there, it's just not safe to take that risk. And really, you know, movies like Kyle's in terms of making aware for parents, you know, what teens are coping with, but then also finding those other ways to be able to find better coping mechanisms.
Yeah. Kyle, this took me back to high school. It made me reflect on the choices I made and why. What has been the response from adults? This film has been screening now for over a year.
Yeah. So I've had a lot of responses from adults about kind of this, you know, eye-opening perspective that they never really thought of, whether that be just from, you know, what is different right now in 2025 within the past few decades from when they were younger or as a parent. I've personally had, you know, a lot of parents come up to me after screenings that I was present at and actually talk about, you know, some of the experiences they had as teens and how that differs from what it is right now. The most memorable experience that I've had with responses from parents and adults would probably have to be a screening that I had in Los Gatos on May 8th of 2024. And a parent and a daughter came up to me after the screening, and they mentioned that they're currently going through a family divorce. And, you know, the dad asked what advice not only myself, but also the cast would give them to maintain that open line of communication within their home, especially during a time of hardship. And just within, you know, a minute or two of talking to them, the girl starts crying, the dad starts crying, they embrace each other. And it's really, I feel like the best thing that I could hope for with parents and teens is that you can be okay with being vulnerable. And for parents specifically, show the affection that you need to show your kid. Make sure that they know that that they can trust you with whatever information that they need to come to you with. Because especially in a time like this where, you know, secrecy can actually lead to death, you do not want to take that risk. Make sure that you have that open line of communication with your teen. Make sure that you have a safe environment at home where they trust you with any information. That is the most valuable thing that I think adults and parents can get out of this film, as well as that communication with their teens.
Yeah, that's really powerful. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Daniel Kim with San Joaquin County Public Health and Kyle Santoro, the student filmmaker behind the documentary Fentanyl High, which will be screening in Lodi, Tracy, and Sacramento this month. Okay, Kyle, screenings are happening this week as early as tonight in Lodi. What are people in for? How do you want people to prepare for taking in your film?
Yeah. So, you know, this is something, these events that we've been hosting, it's really a community event, you know, so it come with your family, obviously, and be ready to alter the way you think about things, specifically from a parent's perspective or a teen's perspective. Be open to change, be open to being vulnerable. And I think that being positive about this is very important. It does have heavy information, but I think looking on the brighter side of things and using those heavy moments to actually see and inspire change within not only your own life, but also the people with whom you are sitting, people who are in your lives. When you take all that information out of the theater back home, back into your community, I feel like that's very important to be very aware of all of that information that you're taking in, and also utilizing the resources that are going to be provided at those events, as well as Narcan, to really impact and contribute to this movement of change around the fentanyl epidemic.
I also saw on your website, fentanylhigh.com, that this also can screen in Spanish?
Correct. So if you are a community partner who's interested in screening it in Spanish, we do offer that option with Spanish subtitles. You can also visit the website. You can screen it for yourself through the website or for a family or a school district.
And at a pretty nominal fee, I believe it's $12 for families and $52 for an organization like a nonprofit or a healthcare agency.
Correct. And if you're interested in doing a film screening with multiple community partners, that'd be at $150 to ensure that we can have a really great event.
Great. Daniel, so you're co-sponsoring the events in Lodi tonight, Tracy next week on Tuesday. There's going to be panelists as well, correct? Who will be participating?
I'm not sure of who's going to be on tonight, but we've the two other sessions that we've had community members representing different programs that help with regard to treatment and individuals to really give their expertise. So after the screening, the audience will have a chance to ask questions, talk with them. And then, as Kyle said, we'll have Narcan, free Narcan available for people to pick up after the screening.
When I think about the different eras of PSAs and campaigns, when I was in elementary school, it was DARE, Just Say No. There's also Scared Straight. What has Fentanyl High taught you about the best way to be effective as a public health agency for campaigns and PSAs?
Well, the messaging and the way we deliver messages has changed. It's clearly, you know, not just showing what you see on the TV or on a brochure, as you said. It has to go in different formats, movies where people can sit down as a family, social media, little clips, even little blurbs that we put out on ads and whatnot tend to be shorter with really strong messages and places to go so that it's not just the sort of the visual that you see of, you know, somebody cracking an egg. It's, you know, now knowing that one pill can kill, or, you know, fentanyl is fatal. You know, don't die to get high. Those are our messages that we've been putting out through San Joaquin County.
Yeah, I think the most striking image when having this conversation about fentanyl was a photo of the lead tip of a pencil, and that being the amount that can kill someone. I mean, that was, it's hard to visualize, oh, it's 50 or 100 times more powerful than morphine or heroin. I mean, that really hit home for me.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize that, you know, that little amount that you see is just the, you know, the bare fentanyl that you see. It's usually mixed in a pill. So you may have seen some of those colored pills or other counterfeit pills. And that's what you really should be afraid of, because you don't know what is the exact amount. And that little amount mixed in with that big pill, yeah, it could be very fatal.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, also, there's other ways to engage with this. Can you tell us about, I think it's called Social Hack? I mean, it's not just watching the film. You can do more after if you want.
Yeah. So currently, we actually are almost done with developing the study guide campaign that's going to be paired with the film for in-class discussions within a school environment. And so that's currently something that we are almost done with. That is in collaboration with the El Camino Health Foundation and the Donna Whitney Foundation, as well as working with Dr. Zickerman from Stanford Psychiatric Department. We are currently developing that to be paired with the film so that we can have those in-class discussions with teens and educators to also have that follow-up educational aspect to the film.
That's amazing. Daniel, I would imagine you're expecting a healthy turnout. Some of these sell out.
Yes, we've already sold out for Lodi, but you can still try to come. It is on a first-come, first-served basis. We do still have seats, I believe, available for the Tracy Theater. And so we have been selling out with the locations. It's really great that there's a lot of parents and teens that are coming out to these, really wanting to know and really getting educated. And we hope, you know, we may be able to find ways in the future to be able to do this again.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a good sign that it's selling out and you're getting such a healthy turnout. And Kyle, you're clearly making a dent from the students who participated in this and were struggling themselves to the feedback that you've received in over a year. You're now in college now. You're no longer in high school. Is that culture different or similar in terms of the risk of substance abuse? What have you observed?
Personally, I'm a freshman in college right now. I feel like a lot of the themes that the film covers around that carries over to college. And in fact, after talking with a lot of professionals within that realm of substance abuse, a lot of these occurring issues that teens, you know, do not get to the bottom of during their teenagehood, these patterns, these coping mechanisms can actually follow you throughout your life, which can lead to lifelong addictions even. So I feel like a lot of this does carry over to college and even after. So specifically with self-medication in general, there is always a reason for self-medication. And you as an individual, you have to get to the bottom of why you do it. So that why is the most important thing. And that is what I'm trying to tackle. That's what everyone who has contributed to the Fentanyl High film, as well as the movement, is trying to change with not just seeing the effects of substance abuse, but also discovering the why behind it. That is the most important thing that I'm interested in discussing.
Well, thank you, Kyle, for doing the lift. And thank you, Daniel, for partnering and showing this to your community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kyle Santoro is the student filmmaker behind the documentary Fentanyl High. It'll be screening in Lodi, Tracy, and Sacramento this month. Daniel Kim is the Health Education Programs Coordinator with San Joaquin County Public Health and is co-sponsoring the screenings in Lodi and Tracy. We do have the dates, the times, and the registration links on our Insight page. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.